Great stuff. First off, it's been a pretty sort of tumultuous week for the heavyweight division, obviously with the first Kane and then Fabricio pulling out of the main event with injuries. What was your take on Verdum saying that he would have stayed on the card for Kane, but yet he pulled out for Stipe? What was your take on that?
Just essentially, he felt it was too much to risk any of the unpredictable or the variables that they hadn't accounted for, and I can understand his trepidation if you think of it that way, because it's a very hard road to get to the top of any sport, and with fighting, you have to. You know, once you get there, you have to maintain that position as everybody's trying to knock you off and take it from you. So, you know, he finally has made it to the limelight. He's finally making what he probably feels is close to the big money, and it's too much of a risk.
Sure. And with the heavyweight championship of the world, it's obviously that mystique about it. You know, people call it the guy who's got the title the baddest man on the planet, and it seems, you know, if you're the heavyweight champion of the world, the general perception among the public is you are basically the toughest guy on the planet. But we've only seen that heavyweight championship competed for three times in the last 3 years. How damaging potentially is that to the actual championship itself, and does it sort of devalue it, or is it, you know, what's your take on that whole situation? Because obviously we've seen a lot of injuries at the top of the heavyweight division in recent years.
Well, the real measure of most of these titles is who's the person holding it and what was that path to get there. You know, the title doesn't really have any value until somebody claims it. The lack of heavyweight championship fights, I don't know. I suppose we're probably not doing as well as boxing, but I know even in boxing, the heavyweights often don't fight a very heavy schedule, but even still, it's the main event. It's the thing that people want to see most in all of combat sports, not just MMA included, the heavyweight world title being fought for, and I think it's important that it's being out there in the forefront and being defended. And injuries are a risk with athletics, and you can't really blame Kane or Verdum, you know, in terms of being injured when that is the case. But I guess one of us is going to have to go up there and take the belt from him if we want to see this thing defended more than once every 3 years.
It was just about the crossover in skill set and what's most beneficial in MMA, you know, the most beneficial skills from your pro wrestling experience that you've been able to parlay into MMA.
Well, this is one of the most important things that I've taken from professional wrestling is the ability to adapt and be ready for any and all comers at any times, because you don't necessarily know how things will change and go from night to night. You know, people like my coach, my past coach, rest in peace, Billy Robinson, you know, he had regaled all kinds of stories about what it was like being on the road, and you never knew what you were going to come across. So you needed to be prepared for anything that you might see. You need to have a solution for any kind of problem you'll come across. And if you wrestle enough people, if you're out there enough in the squared circle enough times, you're going to see pretty much every approach to fighting that you're ever going to come across.
And in terms of the fan base itself and attracting new fans to the sport of MMA, how much of a crossover do you think there is between MMA and pro wrestling? And, you know, what are the key selling points to get MMA over to a pro wrestling audience?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is you need individuals, and it's important for people in MMA to express themselves. That doesn't necessarily mean cutting big, crazy promos or having over-the-top characters, but they need to let who they are be apparent and understandable and out there for people to get behind. Because otherwise, you're just another chess piece, and, you know, who cares? There's another one right behind you, and you're fighting against another one, and there's no personal interest. The other thing is, pro wrestling in its current state is really more choreography than wrestling. So I'd say it probably has more in tune with, I don't know, like a Broadway show than it does with what professional wrestling used to be. But, you know, both things are trying to sell struggle and conflict, and the resolutions through conflict, and the drama that goes behind people being engaged in such an arduous scenario. So I think there's plenty of opportunity for crossover. You won't love everything, but I think that's always the way it goes. But I think that there's enough amongst watching, you know, the professional wrestling world and in the MMA world that there's things to like. And I think if you're an MMA person, it'd probably be easiest for you to get into something like New Japan Pro Wrestling or something on the Japanese side of thing than it would be to get into the sports entertainment. But you just never know.
And what's your take on CM Punk making the transition, especially given that he doesn't seem to have that collegiate wrestling background, and it's quite late in his career? And I mean, what's your take on that, and how well do you think he'll get on?
I think it's a massive risk, but I'm sure that he understood that as well. But I think that whatever those results turn out to be, that risk is worth the reward to him. And I'm glad that he's going after something that he is passionate about and wants to prove to himself and experience while he has the opportunity to still do it. You have to chase dreams. You have to make what appear to be foolish decisions in your life, and you have to do all you can, because you don't have forever to do any of these things, and especially in the athletic sense, you've got an even shorter span at which you could accomplish that. You could be writing books or doing stand-up comedy much more years after your potential to actually be an athlete exists. So I think it's big on him, and I'm glad he's getting his chance to do so. And you know, there is marketing opportunity and money to be made off of Phil's fighting debut. Absolutely. And you know, good for him to be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. Obviously, you've got Ben Rothwell on Saturday. He's in the best form of his career right now. You're probably, between the pair of you, probably the two most experienced guys in terms of the amount of fights you've had in that UFC heavyweight division. Give us your take on Ben as a fighter, how you break down his abilities, and where you think you've got the specific edge over him.
Well, you know, I think that I'm a far more well-rounded fighter than Ben, but, you know, Ben's got a quite a long career and a lot of experience underneath him. So he's used to being out there and under those lights and being under pressure. He's put together a great win streak, and I'm sure he's going to have a ton of confidence coming in, you know, watching his last fight against, or his fight against Overeem, and just walking at him, eating his punches and kicks and knees, and just coming forward, which could have been a really bad decision, but he didn't pay for it that night. He scored the right hand behind the ear and knocked him out. But you know, I'm not going to be so easy to hit, and I bring a whole lot of tricks in my bag of skills there. So I have to keep him off balance, and I have to do something about forward momentum. It's kind of like fighting the golem. You know, it just keeps lumbering forward. But you know, chip away at it long enough, and soon all you got left is you know, the remnants of Michelangelo's David, not the beautiful statue.
And
I can't believe I just made a metaphor around Michelangelo's David with Ben Rothwell, who is he's almost like a partially shaved Yeti. He's such a hairy, big, fearsome dude. You know, he would have been great as like a old Saxon or something.
It's gonna be quite something on Saturday night, and it's.
You know what? Here would be a dream of mine. I would like to fight in England, and someday that would be pretty fantastic. And I would love to have old. God, why can't I remember his name? He's fantastic. He played the dad of Richard III, I think it was, or the Lionheart.
English guy.
Yeah.
Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed.
The loudest man in England. Yeah.
I would want him to either A, be in my corner. But that could be dangerous because I think I might actually just be too entertained by having Brian Blessed in my corner than to be able to go out there and fight appropriately. But if he could announce my fight, if he could, you know, just for one fight, Bruce Buffer could step aside and I could have Brian Blessed announce my MC the fight. That would be fantastic.
He wouldn't need a microphone, I'll tell you that.
No, he wouldn't. And I heard he's good for a tussle himself. He's known for wrestling people.
He is. He's got. I think his autobiography's out at the moment, and apparently it's quite a read. I haven't had the chance to pick it up yet, but apparently it's quite something. So
I gotta get that. He's fantastic. I've been watching him and stuff ever since I was a kid. He's amazing.
He's great. He's a national treasure. One more for you, Josh. And thanks so much for the time. And also, you know, we had a bit of a problem with the call there. But if and when you get this W on Saturday night, it's kind of a two part question. One, do you think that will be enough to book yourself into a title shot? And two, do you think you're going to have to push yourself over the edge by grabbing that mic and really virtually demanding it? Because everything seems a bit log jammed at the top of that heavyweight division at the moment.
I think the biggest thing is it will be how I perform and how I win. I need to go out there and do my absolute best to win this fight. And I think that if I'm able to get everything going on all cylinders, 12, I guess, if you're a big Jaguar fan or Aston Martin, but 8 if you're just into muscle cars like myself. But then the results will speak for themselves, and I will have the world on notice for my return to grabbing the heavyweight title. I always want to grab the mic, though, but I won't beg or plead for anything. You don't see me on a knee for nothing. And, you know, if a heavyweight title is out there to be had, then it's going to come off of just my sheer force of will and my performance. But it is my 15 minutes when I'm out there, when I'm in front of that camera. And I can't imagine that people want to just listen to me talking about something that they could just rewind and watch in slow-mo at the end of a fight anyways.
No, that's great. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to this fight, and I'm certainly one of them. It's going to be a good one. All the best. I hope the final few days go nice and easily for you, and I look forward to watching you in the octagon on Saturday night.
No, thank you.